DuckTales. Woo-hoo. Welcome to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
Hey, I'm Nolan.
And this is episode 118, and we begin this episode with a disclaimer. New Game Plus does not support or condone piracy or illegal hacking in any shape, form, or fashion. That being said, Nintendo Switch Homebrew can now play games from retro consoles, including the NES, the Super Nintendo, the Sega Genesis, Game Boy, and Atari.
That's crazy.
Hold on. What do you mean? I know what Homebrew is, kind of. I know that it's something for the Wii that you can install. It's like you hack your Wii, right?
Yes.
Okay.
For Wii, but we're talking about the Switch now.
Okay, gotcha.
Nolan, so you can now use your Switch as a portable emulation device to play most of our retro games.
I won't, though.
If you're willing to take the risk of hacking it and installing things and whatever else.
Homebrew was super stable on Wii and Wii U. It was fine, and people used it. But they will come out with a virtual console for the Switch, like, for sure they will. And I'll just get the games I want. I don't know. I'm a little worried.
But they're not going to let you play any game you want.
Not any game, no. But I am scared to hack my Switch.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But even in their literature, they say, like, here's the safe ones. Here's the ones that could potentially break your console mm-hmm. completely.
Yeah.
And then have here's fun. The questionable. Yeah. So, like, it would be a scary thing. But do imagine having any of the, like, it's a retro Pi, but on your Switch, like a portable, like, you can play on the go any game from any of the retro systems.
It's beautiful. Like, I mean, it was cool on the Wii. That was pretty amazing. The fact that you can do that, like, walking anywhere now is crazy.
Gaming and with the size of the Switch, especially the handheld one.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like it would feel more right playing old games. Like, mm-hmm. sometimes I'll load up one of these old games. You know, like, pull out my NES or emulator, whatever's going on, depending on the situation, and play it on my rather large TV in my living room.
Yeah, it's weird.
And by the time it's blown up that big, you don't have that CRT look, and your pixels are huge, and scaling is all out of whack, and it can just feel really, like, clunky. But just right there in your hand at that size, even if it's, like, blown up, I feel like it would feel natural, you know.
Whether or not you do it, if you happen to own a Switch, then you have no excuse not to play our retro game of the week along with us, especially the one that we played this week. So join us now as we talk about DuckTales. Woo!
Overview.
DuckTales is an action platformer. Came out in 1989 for the Nintendo Entertainment System, was released a year later for the Game Boy. They are different games. This week we played the NES version, correct, boys?
Yep.
Correct.
It was developed and produced by Capcom. Capcom?
Yeah.
Capcom.
It's not a surprise once you play the game.
But before you play the game, quite a surprise.
Absolutely.
It is based entirely on the animated cartoon for kids that was produced by Disney. And so here's the thing that kind of frustrated me this week. I was talking about it to some of my students, some people that are, 10 years younger than me or so. They don't know what DuckTales is.
At all.
Like, they never heard of it?
Yeah. Most of them had not even heard of it before.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's
Which is foreign weird. To me because obviously I had it. It premiered, the show premiered September 18th, 1987, which was the day before my actual birthday.
Wow. This is your life.
DuckTales, and then I was born the next day in honor of DuckTales.
That's why they made DuckTales.
So, Nolan, you're a little bit younger than Kenny or mm-hmm. I. Well, and both of us are a lot younger than Kenny. Did you guys watch the show originally?
Yeah, I did. I wasn't a huge fan of it. Like, I didn't watch it all the time. I knew what it was, and I know enough about it that I could navigate through references if someone made a DuckTales reference.
Yeah, it was really right prime in the middle of popularity in my life. But I never got into this show as much as some of the other like concurrent shows that were big for some reason. I enjoyed it. Like if it was on, I'd watch it. But I wasn't like a huge, huge fan.
I can't believe that it's escaped my mind. Who is the duck superhero? Or like, come on. It was a show right at this time.
Darkwing Duck?
Darkwing Duck.
Oh, I was totally a Darkwing Duck fan.
Dude, he was incredible.
What's the ducks like, in this era?
Who's the terror that flaps in the night? I know all Batman. About that business.
Dude, Batman. I mean, similar. But so DuckTales was super successful. There's actually a great narrative there with DuckTales being like one of the first syndicated 30-minute kids shows on television. Like that and Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers and the one that I just forgot again, the superhero, what is it?
Darkwing Duck.
That's right. And a few others, they all kind of came out at the same time. They were originals. They set the scene and set the tone for all of the syndicated kids shows that were to come. And for DuckTales, they rebooted it just a few months back. You guys knew about this, right?
I'd heard about it. I haven't like watched any.
You reminded me, yeah, last week.
So I think just a few months ago it started releasing, and I mean it's backed by voices from David Tennant, Ben Schwartz, Bobby Monahan. That's just to name a few, like really good voice actor, really good funny guys and voice actors.
I'd watch.
I love
it.
How you drop those voice actor names like I'm supposed to know who any of those people
They're
are.
They're not voice actors. David Tennant is an actor who is one of the doctors in Doctor Who. Ben Schwartz is.
I like
what's
how
his character's
you pretend
name?
Like I know actors and their names at all.
John Ralphio from Parks and Rec.
John Ralphio from Parks and Rec. And Bobby Monahan's one of the best cast members from SNL.
Yeah,
from
you know who that is.
You gotta say Doctor Who, John Ralphio. You gotta describe him to me that way.
Let's. You know what? Anyways, it's got some good voices.
It does.
That sounds great, actually.
You know, this game, finally, NA gets a game before Japan. In your face, Japan.
I know. It's usually the other way around.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably because it's an American TV show, but whatever.
Sure. The game is connected to the TV show. It's got the same characters and it's got some of the same storylines. So here in this game, you are Scrooge McDuck, and true to theme, he is out to get more money, just all the money in the world. And there's money everywhere, hidden behind trees, hidden in treasure chests. You play five different levels, and you can play them in any order, which is super cool. You've got the Amazon, Transylvania, African mines, the Himalayas, and the moon. I know that was unexpected. And you platform through the stage, defeating enemies and collecting treasure until you get to the boss, who you defeat for $1 million treasure that they are guarding. And you just do that five different times. And you're kind of doing that to outwit your rival, who is also from the television series, Flintheart Glomgold, to become the world's richest duck.
The studio, I believe, like took on like developing, not just publishing, because Capcom had worked with Disney for some other games in the past where like they published it. But I think they kept everything in-house for this game, and the Mega Man team worked on this game. Like a bunch of people that made Mega Man made this game.
Yeah, not the full Mega Man team, I don't think, but definitely a few of the key players for sure, which is, again, just unexpected for me. Like I would never have thought, because we've played other licensed video games, and that's never a recipe for success.
Licenses usually scare us. Now it's even worse if it's like a TV show or a movie. I don't know, specifically after the release. I guess this was a TV show.
Yeah, this had all the setup for being a very bad game.
Yeah,
and it might have been a bad
game.
You're right. We're about to find out as we go into our gameplay section whether or not this is a good game, one of the fewest, rarest of occasions, or if it follows suit and is a god-awful game that we wish we wouldn't have played.
Gameplay.
So you pick up this title and start playing, and I realized right away that this fell into that oh my goodness, this is a horrible game and I'm never going to be able to beat it category. Until I realized that I just didn't understand the mechanics at all and that the game was possible.
What were you doing at first? Jumping on people's heads?
No, yeah. You expect the normal platformer where, like, you jump.
Mario.
And you jump on people's heads and you dodge them. But the main mechanic of movement, of attacking, and of everything in this game happens a little differently. You have to, like, jump and then activate this skill where you kind of sort of pogo stick style bounce off of your cane, the cane that that Scrooge carries around with him. And you use that to jump higher and to jump off of enemies and to open chests.
And to do literally everything.
Yeah, to pretty much do anything in this game. So after the first 2 minutes of me realizing that I was doing it all wrong, that I didn't understand anything, and that I either needed to go look up, you know, the manual or just try more things, I kind of stumbled across the solution. And then it came pretty clear to me that this was a unique and really interesting platformer.
So there are two different ways to attack. You've got that, you've got this normal golf swing, which you can get up close to an enemy or a treasure chest or a rock or anything like that. You hold the direction towards that item or that thing, and then you press your attack button, and he golf swings his stick, his cane, into and breaking or destroying that thing. And then you've got what Kenny just said, you've got that cane pogo stick, which is just ridiculous. And it's really funny because, like, I just started playing. I asked Nolan, what game should I play? This was a week ago, 2 weeks ago. What game that I haven't played should I play? And Nolan told me Shovel Knight. And I was like, yeah, I'd love to play Shovel Knight. So I actually streamed some Shovel Knight just recently on our Twitch stream, New Game Plus Twitch stream. And I've been playing that. And so I have those mechanics down. And then I come into this game, dude, and it is the exact same thing.
Yeah, I had forgotten because I haven't played Shovel Knight, but I've seen it. But it literally, I think, took that mechanic from this game. Like, it's verbatim the same.
That should have been very obvious to me playing this game this week, and I didn't even think about it.
You're just so far removed from it. I think I mentioned it. I did a first play this week. It's up on our YouTube, and you can see me. So at first, I do try, like Kenny, jumping on the enemies, immediately realizing that's not what I'm supposed to do. So then I start exploring with my attack button and realize that it is that pogo stick. And immediately, the cool thing about this one is that you can keep it held down so that you can just bounce over and over again off of it. You don't have to hit an enemy to be able to continue to pogo. You can hit the solid ground and continue to pogo.
Yeah,
so you could literally pogo the whole stage.
Yeah, and often I would try.
Right. Oh, no, like, you get going and you just try not to stop at all, and it's wonderful.
One of the cool things is it's not just a, like, straight left to right, you know, like many of the early platformers. Even Mega Man. You drop down or might go up some.
It's more
it's
linear.
It's left to right.
Yeah. It's more left to right than this game is, for sure. Like, I'm almost tempted to call this a Metroidvania. It's not, because you don't get new items and backtrack. There's proper stages. It's a platformer, but yeah, like,
there's a little bit of that Metroid feel, though. Like, I wonder if they shouldn't have been saying DuckTales Mania all this time. Vania. Because to me, I mean, this game came first, right? And the level layout feels very Metroid to me.
Well, I mean,
DuckTalesvania.
Yeah, that just doesn't roll off the tongue.
No, it's not nearly as good.
But yeah, like, that's one of the very obvious things to me playing this week that was just great as far as, like, playing going through gameplay is, like, the level design so natural. And the way that it works with that mechanic, that pogo mechanic. So you're not just using that pogo to kill enemies. You're using it to get to higher areas, like an extra boost, because it bumps you higher than what you can actually jump. So you can get to some of those secret areas easier by doing that. Or you have
Which
to
was
do that.
So great. Those secret bonus areas, when you first stumble on them and you realize, oh man, this is that game, just made this so much more fun to me.
I thought five stages was going to be a super short game, right? Because five, that's not a lot of stages.
Right.
I didn't feel like this was a super short game.
Nah, I didn't either.
No, if you've mastered the game and, like, you do a whole playthrough, you know, flawlessly, the game's only going to take you 30 to 40 minutes, you know. But that's not how it happens. You've got to sit down and learn the game. You have to sort of maze your way through these levels because there's lots of hidden content and it's not linear. So you're going forward and backwards and taking teleporters and really exploring. So that takes time. You're figuring out mechanics and what you're trying to do and lots of like forward and backtracking, which a lot of times I complain about in games if it just feels cheap. But in this game, it feels, you know, more Metroid style there than Jurassic Park style there. Like going forward and back was still fun and it was way rewarding. They got a lot more time and content out of this game than it looks like from a brief look at the levels.
Yeah. I think it's the things you mentioned along with your limited amount of health. I think the precision platforming, you know, you've got to, even on that first stage, I'm thinking kind of up in the sky, you're going back to the left yep. and you're having to hit these single squares over and over again while bees?
Yeah.
Are flying yep. past. And then on top of that, you don't have a continue. Which sucks, but I think it works for a game with only five stages.
Yeah, because then you can go back and you memorize how to do certain areas. It's not like as punishing as it sounds. When you say, oh, there's no continue, it's like, what? But yeah, like you begin to learn each stage. And then when you come to a new stage, you can learn that. And it is cool that you can do it out of order or in your own order, kind of. There's a couple exceptions, like to progress in one of them, you have to get like a key or something.
Which is all from a different stage, which is also super cool.
Yeah, yeah. Just the fact that that's a thing is neat in its own right. But like, yeah, just the way that it lets you explore those levels instead of throwing you into a super difficult stage. So yeah, I thought the having that option made the game less challenging.
I also thought they did a really, really good job in this game of implementing their difficulty levels. A lot of games don't do that well. And while they took a kind of easy approach on just like amount of damage you take per hit or fail, I feel like the difference between the easy setting of this game that made it relatively easy but still a challenge. You still had to platform and perform, and there were still things you were going to have to learn and do. And the hard version of this game, which it's in moments a really tough game that I think makes it very difficult, and if someone can beat it on hard, like, props. They had a simple solution there, but the fact that they offered those difficulty levels and then they felt like they changed the feel was neat to me. It was well thought out.
One of the mechanics that's like really neat to me is, so your scoring is money, collecting diamonds and opening chests and getting your money up. And there are some checks in a couple of the stages, maybe only two, there might be more, but areas where you have to pay to get past for like, I'm thinking of, I think it was the Amazon stage where you finally get towards the end and it's like, hey, to get up to that rope right there, I'm going to have to give you a platform and it costs this much. So you have to pay to get there, which is great. But not only that, you have a global counter of your money. So like after you beat a stage, it will show you how much you've collected total. So, you know, kind of keeping in theme with the point of the game or the story where Scrooge wants to get rich. So I really love the point system in this game and the way they worked it into the gameplay.
Well, and on top of that, this game has multiple endings, which is always just an added bonus, and it's based on your performance. So whether or not you reach a certain threshold of treasures found and money collected. And so you can, I discovered that you can actually like skip some of those portions that quote unquote require you to pay if you are able to utilize your mechanics well. So if you're able to do the right pogo bounce off of an enemy, you can get to that area without having to pay a ridiculous sum of money.
Yeah, or you find a sort of secret back way to go around it. There's answers to that.
Yeah, and so I think you get a regular ending for just beating the game. You get a great ending for beating the game with finding
everything
both of the
found.
Hidden treasures and at least $10 million. And then you can get a bad ending for actually beating the game with $0. I don't know how that's possible.
Yeah, what's the bad ending?
there's a way, and I didn't use this mechanic, until I was just researching the endings, I didn't see this, but there's a way where you can spend your money to restore health.
What?
Yeah, apparently that's what I was seeing. And so the way you get to the end of the game with zero is like by having a very specific amount of money. I don't think you play the whole game avoiding every money, but you play the whole game where you get to the final boss with like exactly $3 million. And then you do the $3 million health restoration during that very final boss fight, and you end up with no money. It's so supposed goofy. To be really hard to do still, and it's kind of a
like just a bonus thing.
Easter egg, yeah.
I love it when stuff like that's in the game. Like, yeah, it's who like cares, but they still did it. Yeah.
Right, right. It doesn't great. Have to happen. No one's going to care if you don't have it, but because you're just adding a little bit of fun or love, yeah. it's there.
Did y'all ever use the club swing to fight? I didn't. It was so much safer to just pogo everywhere.
Usually I'd just pogo, but there was a couple circumstances where there'd be like a roof over your head, and so you couldn't, even though it was a normal kind of enemy. Mm-hmm. And so a couple of like the zombie things that were chained to ball,
to a ball and chain,
the mummies, those I used it on, and a couple other sort of key times. Mostly that was like interacting with environment, though, and then pogoing was enemy fighting.
Yeah, though they intentionally place like rocks or different things in the path so that if you do use that golf swing, then it projects that or like it shoots that rock at the enemy that is standing there or something. Really smart.
Forgot about
really
that.
Really smart.
Kenny, you just mentioned briefly, but I think it's a great component to the level design here in that there is a stage and then a few areas where the roof is really low, so you cannot use pogo, and so you have to do some other tactics there. And then there's an entire stage, the Himalayas,
where snow.
It's snow. And it's so great. If you try to use the pogo, you actually sink down into the snow and get stuck. So you can't – there's large portions of the stage that you can't use the mechanic you've been relying on every other stage. And I just think that's super, super creative.
It is. That was one of the harder stages for me because of that.
Most certainly.
Because you'd gotten used to it and then you had to like backtrack.
It's just like, no, you're not using that anymore.
Yep. It was annoying. No, level design in general was just top notch. Each level felt different from the others.
My gosh,
they all kind of had a style. And they did clever things like that. And they didn't just have a few bonus areas. They had tons of bonus areas, and getting to them was different, and how important they were was different. And so lots of just exploring the environment and bouncing around and figuring out things. And it just felt fresh the whole time, even with the exception of the bosses. They didn't really intrigue me. They felt kind of boring and that's a little predictable once you learn their patterns.
Yeah.
That, I mean, it's like, okay, so I'm going to also pogo on this person's head as well. I mean,
right.
Like the only added challenge I'm thinking of is the snow one where he hits the ground and then the like snowballs fall and you have to dodge those as well. But I mean, at the end of the day, they're all the same.
Yeah. They're different from each other, but not unique or novel relative to how the rest of the game is.
And from the team that or some of the people that worked on Mega Man, I was expecting some better boss fights, but it's okay.
If you're a true fan of the show, then you'll be happy to know you'll find some familiar faces throughout your journey. So in this game, you'll see the nephews Huey, Dewey, and Louie. You'll come across Webby Vanderquack, Launchpad McQuack, and even some notable villains like the Beagle Boys and, as mentioned earlier, Flint Heart Glomgold.
Worst
names. There's the little Roboduck thing makes an appearance at one point. Like they really pull from the lore and make it feel like a DuckTales game. And the look is there too for a Nintendo title. They nailed the DuckTales aesthetic as well as you can, I think.
Is his name Quackula? If it's not, it should be.
I don't think it is.
I think
they really missed on the.
I think it's Dracula Duck or something.
That's
Duck
awful. Dracula. Come on now.
Dracula. No.
Kenny, you should have made the names.
That was bad.
Honestly, though, when you're playing this game, you'll really understand that life is like a hurricane here in Duckburg. Race cars, lasers, aeroplanes. It's a duck blur.
I got that for sure playing this week.
You might solve a mystery or rewrite history, DuckTales.
How long have you been waiting to sing that?
I haven't been waiting. I've been singing all week long. This song has been stuck in my stupid head.
Oh, great.
Why don't we jump in and talk about some of the music and some of those other things and see how well this game aged?
Aged. Guys, what about this 8-bit music? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I am. No.
You are kidding me?
No, I'm not. I'm not.
It is see, okay, we'll have to talk about this if your is really your perception of this music, because I was absolutely blown away. This is not Super Nintendo. This is a freaking NES.
Yeah.
And maybe barring Mega Man 2, you've got some of the best music, in my opinion, for any NES video game.
I think it does help that the tune was, at least the like main theme, was already super well known and popular, and that they get to play off of that. They had a little bit of like initial, oh hey, it's DuckTales song, you know, and then now sort of nostalgia for that in retrospect. But even they're just level tunes, the music on the moon, you know, your background music. I loved Transylvania. I'm more in Dustin's camp than Nolan's on this one. I thought it was pretty top notch.
Nolan, you're being hard. What's up?
I don't know. It's definitely impressive, especially for the NES. I mean, the NES did have some pretty bad music in its catalog, but it might be, and it's not because I'm not super familiar with the soundtrack, because I'm not as familiar as maybe you are, Dustin. But I don't know. It just wasn't something that I was waiting to talk about with you guys like I usually am.
It does lean kind of 8-bitty and cartoony, which is fitting. That's
fine,
literally
yeah.
The game. But in terms of like if that's what you enjoy listening to, if you would rather have kind of ambiance or sort of mood setting and not just like, hey, fun visual or fun song to match the fun visuals.
Mm-hmm.
I could see you not having just a personal preference for it.
It's not that I
enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's not that I hated it or anything. I don't know. I just didn't think that it was super standout.
That's interesting to me. And even though Kenny is somewhat agreeing with me, I've got to just starkly disagree with both of you, because this... Man, I don't know how we're hearing so many different things. And no, it's not. None of these songs are from DuckTales outside of the theme song at the very beginning.
Yeah, okay. That's it.
Every stage has a unique track that was completely composed, which is not even a requirement for games like this. You could have a relatively redundant song, which a lot of these do, but they decided to have craft a unique song, completely compose a unique song for each of these stages that were completely thematic. It's from the same guy that co-composed Mega Man's 1 and 2. So you know that it's going to be quality. And then I was familiar with the Moon Stage song that Kenny just quickly passed over. I knew the song before I knew about the game. Like I playing this week, I did not know anything about the game really, although I know it's got a following there. But I knew the song before I knew the game because I had it on multiple video game playlists that I would just listen to of like best OSTs for video game songs. And so I knew the song, the beautiful moon theme, which you have to go listen to right now. Pause this episode, go listen to the moon theme, and you'll be
doing
yourself
a favor.
That's
the best one in the game, I think. Like, I know that they clearly wanted to make each stage its own thing. I mean, you can tell, but like, I don't know. You were expecting me to really have freak out about it because I'm a music guy, but... I don't know, maybe I need to go listen to the OST again. I was more focused on the visuals and how, like, these are the best graphics I've ever seen in an NES game. That's where my focus was.
So you thought the graphics, the coloring,
oh my gosh,
all of that was good?
You're kidding me. This is the best looking NES game. I don't know why it's DuckTales, and I don't know why I haven't played this game a lot more in my life, because it's so impressive. First of all, each stage is its own thing, which is great, but not like its own thing. It is so different and on theme for whatever the name is. So the moon is clearly in outer space.
And it's not just a copycat of other games. Like, you know, Even Mega Man, right? You've got these mechanical stages. You've got these this and this. The Sonic, you've got these, you know, the filled stage. You've got this and this. And there's some uniqueness to some of that. But in this, I felt like they were just unique all the way through. Really unique.
Yeah, for sure. And the coloring is like Genesis-esque to me.
Yeah.
It's so
it's vibrant and fun.
And shouldn't
yet,
be on
and
the
yet
NES.
Detailed.
Oh, my gosh.
I think at a glance, I mean, you look hard enough and you realize this is a Nintendo title for sure, just because it is. But I think at a glance, I would have said, oh, that's a Super Nintendo game, just looking at it briefly.
I definitely would have. And it's like, it adds so much to the game. Like, while you're playing it, we've mentioned level design, but I cannot emphasize enough that this level design is next level. It's not... it's not like Metroid where you have to go get an item to progress. You have your item and you use it. It's just you can explore this platformer and each room is unique and has a different gimmick. And you interact with the environment. You like break blocks and then like a boulder will start falling. Or man, it's really impressive.
Especially considering that it's 8-bit. Like it's Nintendo. There's, I don't know. What blows me away for this game is not how great it is in and of itself, although it definitely does have some merit. But it, for me, it was always reminding myself that I'm playing an 8-bit Nintendo version, and it's a DuckTales, like, and it's a cartoon television series. Like, it would be as though, like, if this was Animaniacs, Animaniacs was good and it was fun and it was quirky, but nowhere near compared to what they were able to do with this.
Absolutely.
Like, we even played Toy Story, and Toy Story is iconic. Toy Story is wonderful. Everyone loves Toy Story, and they could have made a great game, and that was a rough game.
Yeah.
But here, in 1989 on the Nintendo, they did something that shouldn't have been done, and it's unbelievable.
Dude, what this is just, like, this goes to show you, like, how good Capcom's team was at the time. Like, this is masterful game design on all fronts. It's so good. Like, to me, this is a better... based on a TV or a movie than Lion King. This is the best one.
I was wondering which one you guys were going to prefer. I almost brought that up because that's always been our kind of bar for you know, the exception that's done it well. And I think DuckTales is absolutely in that top tier of video game from licensed video game content easily.
Oh, I mean, just because nostalgia reasons alone, I'm going to go with Lion King. But also, we're comparing a SNES game to an NES game.
I know, that's what's crazy.
Right, they're totally different titles and different style of play.
Well, but no one's even saying that, like, they're not totally different, you know, which is unbelievable.
Yeah, well, I think they're the same tier. Like, as a game, they play really differently. But they're both very top tier platformers from licensing.
Sure, but I'm just saying that DuckTales in and of itself is like an incredible platformer.
Absolutely.
And then it's like, oh yeah, this is a DuckTales game, or this is called DuckTales. I don't know. I really am blown away by the stage design in this platformer.
Yeah, platformers can be really frustrating, and we sometimes play them, and whether it's because they're too punishing or just too repetitive, there's games we play that I'm like, I got to get through enough of this game to, you know, to be informed on the podcast. Let's grind it out some more, even though I don't want to. And this game just hooked me. Like, you're right. It's not just that it's well cared for and music and visuals and design and all of those things working together. It's also just really fun. They do the kinds of things that make a game fun, from being non-repetitious to being a mechanic that's unique to bouncing around everywhere. This game was just a blast.
If you can't get enough DuckTales, you've got DuckTales 2, which also came out for the Nintendo. In 1993. It came out at the end of Nintendo's life cycle, so it didn't do as good as the first one, although from what I can gather, it's still a really good game, also by Capcom. It's got better graphics, but kind of same gameplay, except they opened up like a shop option at the end of each stage.
Oh, and that's fun, sick. Since you're collecting money. I'd love that.
So you can spend your money, upgrade your cane, and have a few different abilities.
Oh, that's cool.
And then they did remaster the original, the DuckTales Wii Play. They remastered the game, remade the game in 2013 for all the consoles during the time, as well as PC. And then they did it kind of, they made it available for iOS and Android in 2015. And from what I've heard, that's great, because they just took what was good or what was already great in the version that we played and just kind of put a new skin on it, made it just a little bit better.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not this game gets our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down. Requires 2/3 of the votes to swing one way or another. Kenny, you want to have the honors?
Yeah, I've shared thoughts because I was so excited about this game already, pretty clearly. But this one's top-notch across the board. Even being an older platformer, it was still fun. They nailed the difficulty level scheme. They had bonus exciting kinds of content. And it just felt good. A well-made game across the board, and a big, big, big thumbs up for New Game Plus from me. Maybe one of my favorites that we've played. Probably top 10 of all the games we've played in my mind.
That's saying a lot. 118 games in, top 10.
For sure top 20, but like you could make an argument
Don't
for
demote
top 10.
It. Don't
no,
demote
it. No. I'm
it.
Just I'm trying to be accurate. All right. It's a really good game.
I would also give it a big thumbs up. I do think it is a frustrating game, and it will not be beatable for some of you gamers. I mean, if you're good at platformers, you'll be able to conquer this game with relative ease, although it will still, you've got the three different difficulty levels, so you can challenge yourself in that. Licensed works usually get a bad rap, and for good reason. They just don't typically work. But when they do, they really, really, really do. We get that evidence with Lion King is one of the few. It's really rare. But now we can add another one to that list with DuckTales, especially that it's an 8-bit game for the Nintendo. It kind of doesn't make sense. And Capcom did an incredible job. Kind of making me wish that they even would have used this for a different, you know, a different IP, like something that wasn't DuckTales, but because I wasn't the biggest DuckTales fan. That being said, this game gets as well a big thumbs up from me. It's quality and definitely deserves our New Game Plus status.
Yes.
Well said.
Well, okay. It just reminds me how good Capcom is at making games, and I'm so excited now for Mega Man 11.
Oh my goodness.
Like, it's just good gaming and just really shows the potential the NES had. Everyone should play it if you haven't. It is a classic. I wish I would have had more experience with it because I'm stupid for not playing it.
This is the world we live in where DuckTales makes you excited for Mega Man 11.
Well,
DuckTales for the NES gets our vote for New Game Plus status. Find a copy, play it. You will enjoy it. We had so many of you write in this week. We're going to try to get through these emails at the same time. Thank you so much for sending us your thoughts on DuckTales to ngppodcast@gmail.com. Eugene wrote in and said, I love DuckTales, even though I'm not really an expert at it and haven't played through it all since DuckTales Remastered, which I haven't quite finished. Admittedly, I love the original game more because of how much I love the show, although, of course, it's one of the best for the system and a true 8-bit classic. I have two strong memories about this game. First, I played through most of it on a small black and white TV in my room because my older sister was always hogging the large screen Zenith in the living room. Second, I beat it way too quickly, probably in less than a week, which isn't actually that grand of an accomplishment. And I felt bad about that because games were expensive and we didn't have much money. So I didn't tell my mom and kept playing it anyways. The only thing I didn't like about the NES game is how much it diverges from the cartoon, from the color of Scrooge's jacket to the character designs and dialogue. But it's still one of the better licensed titles, and you can tell they at least tried, and it's a heck of a lot of fun.
Thanks for writing in, Eugene. It's pretty funny that you had to pretend like you hadn't beat it. My mom would have no clue. I'd be like, no, mom, I have so much left. She'd be like, okay.
I did notice a few of the color changes. I think even on the main screen, the level select screen, it's kind of a big computer, and you've got Scrooge there with the nephews, but two of the nephews are wearing the same color, green. And I think it was either an accident or a miscoloring or something, but it did throw me off.
Whoops.
Ben wrote in and said, licensed games on the NES are typically known to be studio cash grabs without any quality, but not DuckTales. It's one of the best entries in the NES library. Or at least that's what I've been told. It's a game I've always known about, but I'm not, and I'm sure I've either played it at a friend's house or rented it once as a child. Since then, it always seems to be included in best of lists for NES games and one that I've wanted to play again. Thank you, New Game Plus, for giving me the motivation to dedicate some time to playing it. This is definitely a game that receives my vote for New Game Plus status. I'm looking forward to the next time your podcast motivates me to play an old game.
That's kind of the whole point here, you know? Discover old games, play along with our folks. And so I love hearing that. I love that it gave you an excuse to discover or rediscover this classic gem. And it did the same thing for us. So we love sharing that with you guys.
Yeah, I was kind of in the same boat. Like, I knew that it was really good. Speedrunners rave about it being one of the best. I just never played it a lot myself. I just were kind of like, yeah, I agree.
It was really fun to be in my shoes because us three hadn't talked about it much. Like, so I may have heard it in the past, but I had forgotten completely. So I thought I was booting up a really bad game.
Yeah, I was I was going in pretty cold, not having realized the reputation here, just NES licensed game. And I was afraid we were going to get a Home Alone or something of that nature.
Home
and
Alone
I was
just alone.
And then for the first like 30 seconds, I was like, yep, this is terrible.
Yeah.
And then you figure out those mechanics and the world starts opening up and you start discovering secrets and it just gets fun and fun and more fun. And exactly. What a good game.
Thank you, Ben, for writing in. Jan also wrote, said, I always love to watch the DuckTales show. I also heard a lot about the game, but never took the time to play it. That's the great thing about the NGP podcast, because you convinced me to finally take the time to give it a spin. This game is fun. The song on the title screen is a great chiptune version of the theme song. It immediately got me going. It took me a while to get the hang of the controls. I'm so used to playing platformers with Mario-style controls, but after a while, you will get the hang of it. The Amazon level is quite easy. Tried the moon level because of the famous song, and it's quite a nice song. All in all, once you get the hang of the cane jump, it's a fun game, and it still holds up nicely. I would give this my vote for New Game Plus.
I love that we see that trend of, like, finally convinced to play it. That's because we feel like that a lot, too, right?
Absolutely.
At least I do. Doing this podcast, since we started doing this, like, I've played a lot of good games that I previously never took the time.
It's fun and it's a whole nother conversation for a whole nother time, but we obviously liked older games. That's why we started this podcast. But then my appreciation and affection for retro games has just gone to a whole new level in doing this podcast.
Absolutely.
Over the last couple of years, and causes me to appreciate a lot of the art and heart that goes behind and into these games. And this is another example of that. Finally, Antonin wrote in and he said, this game is so silly. I didn't play much, but just seeing Scrooge jump around on his cane like it was a pogo stick had me laughing. The game is super easy to pick up once you figure out the pogo move and nothing can stand in your way. I do have some complaints. I hate platformers. You all know that. One thing I hate more than platformers is having a hard time figuring out the distance your character can jump, especially when it comes to vertical jumps. I kept trying to jump on blocks that seemed to be in reach, but in fact, were not. I chalked this annoyance up to the fact that I probably didn't play enough of it to get a good feel for McDuck's jumping abilities. And boy, that old rich man can jump. Must be all the swimming in his vault full of gold. DuckTales was the bomb back in the 90s, and this week I had beautiful flashbacks of all the awesome cartoons from back then.
Hey, you know this remaster they did? I checked it out. I don't think I would like it. I prefer the original for sure.
How come?
It looks nice. Like, it looks like a cartoon more. Like, the graphics are clearly better. But it doesn't look as fluid. It almost looks like a knockoff. Like, the original, I think, is the best and should be the one everyone chooses to play.
Yeah, I think what they tried to do there was kind of blend the cartoon feel and look with the NES game and try to do it in a way that combines both of those. I don't know. I haven't given it a try. I'd be interested in at least playing the moon stage and seeing what it's like. If it's the same mechanics and they just kind of updated the look, I think I'd appreciate it. But it's remastered. It's not a replacement of, you know?
For sure. Yeah.
Thank you guys for writing in. We appreciate your commentary and thoughts on the Retro Game of the Week each and every week. You can send in your thoughts to ngppodcast@gmail.com before Saturday, any given week, and we will love to include your thoughts as a part of the show. But it is now that time of the week where we put DuckTales to the side and we randomly select a new Retro Game of the Week. I'm excited about this one.
Yeah, me too.
Me too. Always coming off of like a good gaming experience makes you pumped. There's some weeks that I'm like, yes, freedom, we get something else. And there's some weeks that I'm like, hey, maybe we'll get another one of those. And it's certainly that category.
Well, now we're getting a new one. Whether it's good or bad, we're about to find out. Randomly selecting now. Well, this is a freaking big one. We're playing Nintendo. Another platformer. It's for the Game Boy, and it came out in 1992.
We haven't played a Game Boy game in quite a while.
It's been a while.
There were a few Game Boy games that I absolutely adored as a kid.
Well, let me ask if it was this one. Did it have anything to do with 6 golden coins?
You're kidding me.
We are playing Super Mario Land 2, 6 golden coins.
This was probably the single most time I ever put into a Game Boy game. Even more than like Tetris or Pokemon.
Wow.
In my childhood.
You want to know something bad? I've never played the game before.
Have you not?
I won't
tell you my opinion on why I played so much of it because I don't want you to get too hyped.
Right?
But this game is great and amazing and everybody should play it.
I've never played it either, Dustin. I have played the first Super Mario Land on Game Boy a lot, but I didn't even know there was a second one.
It is available on the 3DS Virtual Console as well. So whether you played on the Game Boy, the 3DS Virtual Console, or you have some kind of emulation running this week, play Super Mario Land 2, 6 Golden Coins along with us, and let's have some fun.
Join us in Discord also this week as you're playing 6 Golden Coins. We're going to be talking about it and hanging out in there with our amazing viewers. And you can find an invite link to that on our Twitter. The program is free, so we'll see you there.
Also, got to take a moment to thank every one of our listeners and our patrons, especially our producer-level patrons, Gimbarino, Zion, and Bradley. You guys help keep things chugging along, and weeks that the games are especially fun like this make it especially fun to do this podcast. Though we love the process no matter what and going through it with you guys. So thanks to all of our growing community and you guys in particular. We really appreciate it.
And if you'd like to become one of our patrons and support us as well as get some kind of bonus content, you can visit patreon.com/NGP podcast. You can find us on social media, Facebook and Twitter at NGP Podcast. YouTube as well. We have regular video content that's coming up on there weekly for sure, if not two times a week. Make sure to listen to us every single week on iTunes or SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Music, any podcast provider of your choice. Make sure you subscribe. Leave a kind review. Always helps with visibility there. We definitely want to thank Tom Tate, who edits and produces our podcast. Join us next week as we play Super Mario Land 2, 6 Golden Coins. Until then, I'm Huey.
I'm Louie.
I'm Huey.
Why would you do that?
I can't do it out of order.
No, he made up a character.
No, well, yeah, I said what you said.
Because we threw him off his game.
And this has been New Game Plus.